Hari Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaritamastama Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivastari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, chapter 26. Stimulation for Ecstatic Love, page 33. 2-1-300. There are five types of devotees of Krishna: those in Shantaras, the servants and sons, the friends, the elders, and the lovers. Srila Prabhupada. Some things which give impetus for stimulation to ecstatic love for Krishna are his transcendental qualities, his uncommon activities, his smiling features, his apparel and garlands, his flute, his buffalo horn, his leg bells, conch shell, his footprints, his places of pastime, such as Vrindavan, his favorite plant, Tulasi, his devotee, and the periodical occasions for remembering him. One such occasion for remembrance is Ekadasi, which comes twice a month on the 11th day of the moon, both waning and waxing. On that day, all the devotees remain fasting throughout the night and continuously chant the glories of the Lord. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The devotees are of different types according to their bhava. There are two types of servants: those with a feeling of servitude and those who directly take up the role of servant. The second type takes up the position of alambana, ashraya. However, giving the siddhis does not indicate any excellence when mentioned in relation to the Lord, since such an act is not astonishing for him. Thus it was not mentioned as a quality of the Lord. Footnote 10. Prahlad Maharaj said, "My dear friends, O sons of the demons, you cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by becoming perfect Brahmins, demigods, or great saints, or by becoming perfectly good in etiquette or vast learning." Wow. This is not going to be popular. None of these qualifications can awaken the pleasure of the Lord, nor by charity, austerity, sacrifice, cleanliness, or vows can one satisfy the Lord. The Lord is pleased only if one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to Him. Without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.7.51.52. So why it's a show is because it's temporary. It'll only give an effect in the external environment. Right? That's all. It won't give a permanent effect in connection with the soul and Krishna. So you have those who have that attitude and then those who do. So then the whole point is one should, was always trying to perform service. One should apply one's service. 2-1-301-302. Those things which nourish the bhava of the practitioner are called the udipanas, or stimuli. These are things such as Krishna's qualities, pastimes, decoration, his smile, the fragrance of his body, his flute, horn, anklets, conch, footmarks, his dham, tulsi, the devotee of the Lord, and days such as Janmashtami and Ekadasi. Technically, this should be the place for Prabhupada's one. Means the Prabhupada's point? Mm-hmm. They put it under the 300. It should be actually under this 301, 302. Because he's bringing up these points that aren't mentioned there.
Yes.
Vishwanath should stay there. 2-1-303. Qualities are of three types: bodily, verbal, and mental. Bodily qualities are age, beauty, his forms, and things such as softness of body. 3.1.305. Though these bodily qualities are included in Krishna's Sarup, accepting them as separate from the Sarup, they are called Udipanas. Right? Means they are non-different from a Sarup, but we're accepting them in the way of the difference in that we're pointing them out on their own. So appreciating one particular quality. Because this body has all the qualities, but we're appreciating one particular quality or group, so therefore it becomes an Udipana. Does that make sense? Because he's not different from it, but we're seeing it in the way of, oh, Krishna's body is so soft. It's so many other things also, but that's the one that's being appreciated. Does that make sense? So it becomes an Udipan. Yeah? Srila Prabhupada. Krishna's age, his transcendental bodily features, his beauty, and his mildness are qualities pertaining to his body. There is no difference between Krishna and his body, and therefore the transcendental features pertaining to his body are the same as Krishna himself. But because these qualities stimulate the devotee's ecstatic love, they have been analyzed as separate causes of that love, right? Because it's just him, but they're separate causes in that the particular qualities themselves may then bring up this particular ecstatic love. Does that make sense? Krishna has all these qualities, these unlimited qualities, but we may find that these particular qualities, then they are able to bring out that aspect. Because he has 64, so any one of them on their own can. So these ones in connection with the body, they on their own may bring up that ecstatic love. Right? To be attracted by the qualities of Krishna means to be attracted by Krishna himself, because there's no real distinction between Krishna and his qualities. Krishna's name is also Krishna. Krishna's fame is also Krishna. Krishna's entourage is also Krishna. Krishna and everything related with Krishna, which gives stimulation to love of Krishna, are all Krishna. But for our understanding, these items may be considered separately. Right? Just like his sarup, he has all these qualities. They're inherent in his sarup. But it doesn't mean that we can't see the variety within the sarup. Right? It's inherent in him. So these qualities can be there. So in the same way is that these various qualities of Krishna, even though they're all non-different from him, they can all be appreciated in the context of remembering him. Right? So they're seen as if they're different, but they're not. Okay. So just because it's a sarup doesn't mean it has to be seen, you know, homogeneously?
Homogeneously.
Depending on whether it's American or British. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's
like aluminium.
Yeah, and yeah.
Aluminum.
Yeah.
You're putting extra letters in for no reason.
Yes. Jiva Goswami. Because they are qualities of the sarup. They are included in the sarup, guna sarupam, but the qualities are also accepted as different, right? So they're in a sarup, they have all the variety, but at the same time they can be seen on their own, in connection with Krishna, but you don't have to see them as just part of a bigger thing. You can also deal with one thing at a time, right? But as long as you keep it in the context of Krishna, then it brings about devotion. So it's Krishna who has that quality. But if it's just the quality itself without Krishna, then it takes on that point of avidya. Then not seeing it connected to Krishna, its effect will be ignorance. Yes?
Maharaj, usually when we speak of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tapra, it's the Lord and his energies. So
yes.
Is this something different to that?
No, because all these qualities are his energies. So he's non-different. Yes.
Part of his Sarup Shakti.
Sarup Shakti. It's all part of Sarup Shakti. So that's when he says part of his Sarup means his, you know, his nature. You know, his being, his, you know, who he is. So the energies is non-different. So that's how it's different, non-different, but different. So there's variety within one. Like that. So like that, yeah. When one thinks that Krishna has a beautiful body, then the beautiful body is the alambana with the emphasis on Krishna. So we're seeing the body becomes the reason for becoming attracted. But we're attracted to Krishna. You understand? Krishna's body are non-different, but by seeing the body, we think, oh, I'm attracted to Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. But when we think of the beauty of the body of Krishna, the emphasis is on the beauty, which becomes Udipana, right? When one thinks that Krishna has a beautiful body, then the beautiful body is the alambana, right? Means the emphasis on Krishna. The alambana means then the beautiful body that becomes the shelter of the particular quality. But at the same time, it's when it's seen in connection with, it becomes a stimulus, then it's called an udipan. Then you see it separately. So it's non-different from him. What's the difference? It's a subtle difference in that one, Krishna is beautiful. So you're just seeing it together. So then it's a lambada means it's that's Krishna. So he's the Vishaya. Right? And we're the Ashraya. But at the same time, it's when that quality itself becomes the aspect of that inspiration to serve Krishna. You know, or to be absorbed in Krishna. Then we're seeing that Krishna has a beautiful form. So we're seeing the form as a separate aspect. So then it becomes udipan. When you're seeing it together, it just means Krishna is where our attraction is directed.
So it's like in general and in particular?
Yes, because the thing is you have within the vibhava, you're going to have the alambana and you're going to have the udipan. So the alambana is going to be ashray vishay. So he's the vishay because Krishna, he's, you know, his body, his form, he's very beautiful, all these different things. These are just Krishna is so wonderful. Right? So it's a generic kind of aspect that Krishna has all these unlimited qualities. And, you know, specific qualities may be the oh boy. This is weird. Because I was going to say wheelhouse, but whatever. It's just the area in which we see our functioning in our relationship to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? But now, when within those qualities, that would be within the realm of our seeing Krishna, when one of them stands out to us, that becomes an udipan for our love for Krishna. You understand? So it's the same as Krishna, but we're seeing the difference. Right? When you're seeing the sameness, then Krishna's the Vishaya. So it's a lambana. But when we're seeing the difference, you know how Krishna has this quality like that, then it becomes the udipan.
Why is connected to Vishaya and Ashraya?
Because that's all within Vibhava. We're discussing Vibhava now.
But udipan is not separated like this.
Means Vibhava has two categories.
Yes.
Alambana and udipana.
Yes.
So that means within the context of Vibhava, then when you're seeing the quality, you know, how you say, as belonging to Krishna, then it's alambana. When you're seeing that quality as a stimulus for serving Krishna, it's udipan. Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense.
It does, but I think you reversed it.
I reversed it.
Okay.
Can we say that for Kubja, Krishna's beauty was udipan, and for the gopis, Krishna's beauty is alambana, because they're more focused on?
No, it means any one of the qualities can be brought out. It's not that the beauty has to be in one or the other. All it's saying is that when you're just taking the generic, you know, it's just like it's about Krishna and then the context of Krishna. Right here. Here.
Okay, it makes sense. Generic and particular.
Yeah, that's all. Because the point is that as Krishna, as the Vishaya, then there's a certain qualities that attract. Like Mother just showed, it'll be one set of elements. It'll come up. It'll be explained. No? Isn't it? Yes, it'll be explained exactly which ones are the prominent ones for each, or at least, you know, in some of the rasas.
Yes.
And so that will be Vishaya. It means Krishna, who has all these qualities, he is the object of your devotion. Then seeing one of those qualities or some combination, that's then what gives rise to you becoming attracted and therefore...
Vibhava.
Yeah, then from that mood, then it goes into the, you know, anubhavas and everything else like that. Does that make sense? So the stimuli means means the one is Krishna is the object of your affection, but the stimulus on why at this moment you are projecting that your devotion towards Krishna, that's the Udipana. You know, it's just like, okay, you have the child, and so the child has so many nice qualities and all that, and so you just appreciate them as the, you know, as the child. And they have the, you know, this natural object of parental affection. But at a particular point, let's say they're being cute, or, you know, they're being clever, or like that, that's the Udipan.
Yes.
Like that. Does that make sense?
Maharaj, so when you say that the beautiful body is Alambana, it simply implies that at one shot you're looking at the multiple beautiful qualities as Krishna is having.
On the not necessarily, it's not that we're looking at, it's that it's Krishna who has all these.
Yeah, he has. And when you say Udipan, so focusing on one particular beautiful quality that is attracted towards the person. Something like that, can you see?
Yes. Why not?
And both are, yeah. You can go either this way or that way sometimes.
Point is that there is a group of qualities that are attractive for a particular devotee that has a particular attraction to Krishna. And so those are the Krishna having all those is the focus of their devotion. When one of those stands out and that becomes the cause for remembering Krishna or interacting with Krishna, that's called Udipana. That's all. We're just saying what causes you to.
Is the Alambana considered to be a cause of lightning bhava itself? Or?
Alambana is just a defining who's the object of affection and who has that affection. Like Krishna is the object of affection for Mother Jashoda. So he's the Vishaya, the object there, and she's the Ashraya. Of the shelter of that particular rasa, because Krishna is rasa. That's the point. He is rasa. He is all the different aspects. So different devotees will have different points of attraction to Krishna. Right? So that's how you get the five rasas. So that's where you're starting here, the five rasas. So depending on the five rasas, you'll have a different groups of qualities that are attractive to you. Right? Because it's that Krishna who's having all these is who's attracted. Right? But the reason that you'll start, that some reason for service comes up, remembering him or doing something or like this, that's because a particular quality is being focused on by the devotee at that moment. Yes?
Maharaj, can we use in the context of Alambana being the root cause and Udipana being the immediate cause?
Yes, that would work very nicely. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. 21306. The form itself of Krishna is the Alambana. His ornaments, age, and other items act only as Udipanas. Right? So Krishna's form, it means he is the object of one's attention. And then the details of the ornaments, age, and other things like that. That will then be the Udipanas. 21307. His qualities, Esham, however, act as both Alambana and Udipanas. Srila Prabhupada. Krishna is a reservoir of all transcendental pleasure. Therefore, the impetus to love of Krishna, although seemingly different, are not actually distinct from Krishna himself. In the technical Sanskrit terms, such qualities as Krishna's name and fame are accepted both as reservoirs of and as stimulation for love of Krishna.
So reservoirs, Alambana, and stimulation, Udipana.
Sorry?
Reservoirs, Alambana, and stimulation is Udipa.
Okay, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, says Krishna, although seemingly different, are not actually distinct from Krishna, because they're non-different. But at the same time, then the qualities and name are accepted as both reservoirs and of stimulation, because his qualities, they're a part of him, they're the reservoir, but the quality itself can also be. So just the form of Krishna, that's the basis that is there, and then what aspect of that? Because we said before here, what do you call it? Bodily, verbal, and mental. Okay. Jiva Goswami. Because the qualities serve in special cases as alambana. The form, and to some extent, the qualities are said to share the role of alambana. 21308. Krishna has three ages. Childhood, boyhood, and youth. Childhood, Kumara, ends with the fifth year. Boyhood, Pauganda, ends with the 10th year. Youth, Kaishora, ends with the 16th year. After that is manhood, Yovana. Oh, okay, so that's how this works. Because youth can have both. Because when he's talking about Vishnu, then he's ever youthful. So then you're taking 16 to 29. That as the... Yeah, and so he'll always be 16. Right? So then it'll be called youth there. But here it seems within the Braj, because he's not in manhood or Yovana in Vrindavan, he leaves at that time. So he's only in that place in Vaikuntha, basically. Right? Once he leaves Vrindavan. So then youth means the Kaishor. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Is that blooming youth?
Yes, yeah.
Sorry? Old age starts?
Old age starts? For Krishna, it just doesn't. Oh, you mean means for the humans?
Yeah.
Then 30 will be middle aged until 49, and then 50 starting there. That's old age.
Just to make sure.
Yeah.
You got a lot of old age.
Yeah. Well, that's why birth, death, old age, and disease.
Half of life.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's half if you're pious enough. But if not, then that's the thing. It doesn't have anything to do with when you go, but it's like that. Yeah. But yeah, that's how it works. Because you see, there's that nature. That's why there's always that thing, people at 30, because it's a different mentality, because it's a middle-aged mentality. So it just switches. You'll see it just switches. Because at 16, then they're adults. So then they have that, you know, manhood, just adulthood like that. But so 30, I mean 29 is the end of that, so it ends with 30, you know, it means ends with 29, 30 starts the next, you know, so. Yeah.
I'm just accepting the fact that we're old.
Oh yes.
I felt it, but
now you know. Now it's confirmed. Yeah, certified. Certified oldness. Yeah.
Well, I believe there's some statement about when the grey hairs appear and the grandchildren are seen, then it's time to go to the forest.
Yes. That's yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Now nowadays you see guys in manhood with grey hair. You know? Yeah. Not at all uncommon. Before you wouldn't see it, but now it's quite common. Srila Prabhupada. Krishna's age is considered in three periods. From his appearance day to the end of his fifth year is called Kumara. From the beginning of the sixth year up to the end of the 10th year is called Pauganda. And from the 11th year to the end of the 15th year is called Kaishora. After the beginning of the 16th year, Krishna is called Yovana, or a youth, and this continues with no age. Right? So you see here is the youth can be used on both of them. You know, so then like Prabhu mentioned, the budding youth, or now use adolescence, or these kind of things. So it's just that aspect starts there, but it doesn't have the maturity of the, you know, the one manhood, then you generally expect it to be some maturity, responsibility. So before that, they generally don't have that. Jiva Goswami. This is the general definition. Krishna, however, should be understood to be special. Thus, there are verses such as the following. Right? So even though these things are there, he's special in whatever the case. O King Parikit, within a very short time, both Rama and Krishna began to walk very easily in Gokula on their legs, by their own strength, without the need to crawl. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.8.26. Right? So even though he's doing all these things, still he'll be, you know, how you say, being special and doing that. Like you see is that Pauganda, it's Kumara, then they start taking out the calves. Right? Like that. You know how far they go in that, but they're starting to learn to deal with them. That means before 5 years old, they're already herding the cows. Like that. You know. Yeah. Then you also see them talking and all kinds of things like that. So Krishna's special. You have the aspect of 1.5 times the age will be there. So when he says, Krishna's, you know, in this point here, but at the same time he's manifesting that, because he left Vrindavan at 11 years 8 months, right? So it how you say it? But it's actually the you know how you say it? The older age, it would be at the yogana age. Does that make sense? So that's why at 8 he's performing rasa dance. Right. So actually, by that, it'd be equal to 12. Right. But he's 8. Right. Does that make sense? So the Mahapurushas, then they'll function at that kind of age thing. But Krishna and Balaram are even special, even considering that. 2.1.3.10.3.11. Considering the suitability for pastimes, the childhood age, Kumara, is most fit for Vatsalya or parental rasa, and boyhood age, Pauganda, is most fit for Shakya rasa. Youth, Kaishora, is most excellent for Madhurya rasa. The majority of examples given in this section are from youth, Kaishora, since it is suitable for all rasas. Right? All rasas can be there, but you see, it's most excellent in these things. Right? Because in the Kumara, then the parental will be the prominent one that will be there. The other rasas are going on. He has his friends and all that. But it's just what works very excellent in these things. Srila Prabhupada. But he's saying the Kaishora will be the where most examples will be given. Srila Prabhupada. As far as Krishna's transcendental pastimes are concerned, they are mostly executed during the Kaumara, Pauganda, and Kaishora periods. His affectionate pastimes with his parents are executed during his Kaumara age. His friendship with the cowherd boys is exhibited during the Pauganda period. And his friendship with the gopis is exhibited during the age of Kaishora. Krishna's pastimes of Vrindavan are finished by the end of his 15th year. And then he is transferred to Mathura and Dwarka, where all other pastimes are performed. Srila Rupa Goswami gives us a vivid description of Krishna as the reservoir of all pleasure in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Here are some parts of that description. Jiva Goswami. Because of suitability, a particular age is most suitable for characteristic pastimes of the certain rasa. This applies to all three stages. The word praya in the verse means abundantly. So it just means there's more abundance of the parental interaction in the Kumara, more abundance of the, you know, games that they'll play and all that in the Pauganda. Because in the Pauganda, he's not going off with the gopis. So he'll just be playing with the boys. But in you know, something sense. And at the same time, as then they're happy to go out, and that's where the prominence, the variety is there. Otherwise, with the parental, it's not necessarily anymore. In fact, you know, there won't be quite as much of that dependency and everything like that. And then in Kishore, then you'll see parental, he's still interacting with the parents, he's still interacting with the coward boys, but the emphasis, the abundance will be in the conjugal rasa, right? Does that make sense? Yeah. 2.1.3.12. Youth, Kaishora, has three divisions, beginning, middle, and end. Right? Jiva Goswami. Seshar, the end, in the case of Krishna, means that he remains Shishyate, eternally at that age. This is the most complete condition as far as age is concerned, rather than a complete end. Right, so then, the third stage, or the end of Kaishora, then that's what he remains at eternally. So that's then why we can see the overlap of the term youth. Because Yovana is actually just the end stage of Kaishora. That makes sense. On the strength of analyzing the derivation of the word, one should also understand that most perfect condition by the word charama, which will be used in verse 3.27. Charama is related to charati, which means that the youthful age continues, charati, eternally after making its appearance, rather than declining like childhood and boyhood and losing its beauty. So it's coming up to a particular point and then it'll just continue. So it's just this development of manifesting of different aspects of rasa and all that until it gets to this point of youth, and then that just continues. So it doesn't end. So it doesn't have a thing where it drops off like us. hence the 29. Uh-huh. You know, how many sentences? Like that. You have the, I don't know, but it's mentioned it. In America, there's things that women don't get past 29 years old. Yeah, my mother just had her, I think, 42nd, 29th birthday.
Yeah, they do 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013.
Well, is that how they do it? Yeah. And how do you
or
write it?
Or they just completely have the, you know, 97th...
Oh, 20 plus.
Yeah. 2010 is 30. 2011 is 30.
Okay. So 32 would be 2012.
Yeah.
Huh. And how do you write it?
You don't write it.
TWENTYTWELDE.
Oh, I see. You just write it like that. Yeah. But in numbers?
No.
There's no formula for that.
You don't
write it. You don't have to write. No one has to know. Right. They just need the 20 part, right?
I'm turning 2010.
Oh, no. Three thirteen. At the beginning of the Kaishor age, the complexion becomes indescribably effulgent. The edges of the eyes become reddish, and fine hairs appear on the body. Right, so that'll come up at the Kaishor. So that won't be there before that. 2.1.3.14. An example. Oh, my friend, now the body of Krishna has taken on a fresh beauty. All his limbs steal the splendor of the dark blue sapphire. A reddish hue has entered the edges of his eyes, and a few very fine hairs have sprung up on his body. Right, so this is then an example of the, you know, they're describing, but it's a matter of that's Udipan. That his body has these, that's the Alambana. That they're attracted by that, that's the Udipan. Srila Prabhupada. Krishna's Kaishor age may be divided into three parts. In the beginning of his Kaishor age, that is, at the beginning of his 11th year, the luster of his body becomes so bright that it becomes an impetus for ecstatic love. Similarly, there are reddish borders around his eyes, and a growth of soft hairs on his body. In describing this early stage of his Kaishor age, Kundalata, one of the residents of Vrindavan, said to her friend, "My dear friend, I have just seen an extraordinary beauty appearing in the person of Krishna. His blackish bodily hue appears like the Indranila jewel. There are reddish steins on his eyes, and small soft hairs are coming out on his body. The appearance of these symptoms has made him extraordinarily beautiful." Jiva Goswami. Shtitima means very dark hue, very dark blue. It is a word with a palatable sha, shtiti, rather than the word beginning with a dental, siti, binding. Amar Kosh says that shiti means white or dark blue. Lohini means reddish in color. This is a statement of the wife of Krishna's elder cousin brother, Kundalata. Yes, so she's a cousin. Kundalata is a cousin of Krishna. But she seems to be elder cousin brother, so she can pull rank. Kundalata. So she's pointing out, she's telling another gopi, look at this beauty that's coming out in Krishna. So they're appreciated in a general way. Does that make sense? So it's not, with her it's not a conjugal rasa, because she has a friendship rasa with Krishna. But she's able to appreciate Krishna's beauty. Yes?
Her speciality is like when there is a rift between Radha and Krishna, and Radha doesn't want to talk to Krishna, she is the one who goes from Krishna's side to Saul.
Oh, she goes from Krishna's side. Okay, and Lalita from Radharani's side.
And sometimes she dresses Krishna as a lady to take the pastime, where Krishna dresses as a lady.
Oh, okay, so Kundalata.
She goes with her.
Okay. You were going to say something?
I was just confused. I got it now, though. It seemed as if it was saying that Krishna's elder cousin brother was Kundalata, and this is a statement of his wife, but Kundalata is the wife of the
yes, yes.
I was like, wait,
another means he's a, she's a cousin sister.
Yes. In-law.
Yeah. Yes. In Indian, they don't really worry about it. She's a sister.
Yeah,
just like that. So.
Village relationship.
Yeah. 2.1.3.15. His typical accoutrement during this period is the Vaijayanti garland, the peacock feather, the costume of a dancer, the sweetness of his flute playing, and the luster of his dress. Right, so these are all aspects that these are, like we said, these qualities and all that, these will all be aspects that are alambana, but anything specific, seeing the garland or the peacock feather or how he dresses or the playing, how he plays the srut, can be an udipan for, how you say, you know, that stimulus for a devotional, for a prema. 2.1.3.1.6, an example from the 10th canto. Wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head, blue karnika flowers on his ears, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vaijayanti garland, Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers as he entered the forests of Vrindavan, beautifying it with the marks of his footprints. He filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the cowherd boys sang his glories. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.21.5. Right, so we see is that this is the Krishna that we're, you know, most used to, you know, hearing about, or this is the focus, because Srila Prabhupada, he's given this age as the age of worship. Right, the others are pastimes, they're there, but this is the age of our worship. Srila Prabhupada, in this connection, the 10th canto, 21st chapter, verse 5 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami tells King Parikit, "My dear king, I shall try to describe how the minds of the gopis became absorbed in thought of Krishna. The gopis would meditate on Krishna's dressing himself just like a dancing actor and entering the forest of Vrindavan, marking the ground with his footprints. They meditate on Krishna's having a helmet with a peacock feather and wearing earrings on his ears and yellow gold-colored garments covered with jewels and pearls. They also meditated on Krishna blowing his flute and in all the cowherd boys singing of the glories of the Lord." End quote. That is the description of the meditation which the gopis used to perform. And so they would be absorbed in this because he's going out with the cowherd boys. So they don't have a problem. He has relationships. They appreciate that. Right? You know, because he has these nice relationships they all appreciate. Right? You know, I mean, the gopi's going to sing about, you know, he goes, you know, about, yeah, this guy's so great, all his friends call him a loser. No. He's great, his friends all appreciate, like that, so. 2.1.3.17. At the beginning of youth, the activities consist of sharpening his nails, quivering of his bow-like eyebrows, and staining the teeth with dyes. Jiva Goswami. In order to convey the particular beauty of this age, there's a description of adopting the local customs, such as letting the fingernails grow sharp and coloring the teeth. But it should be understood that at this time, the exquisite beauty of such sharp nails and teeth, which deride the charm of crown jewels, appears spontaneously. And thus they are not included in the list of his accoutrements, which are consciously prepared. Means he doesn't have to arrange this. Right? It means that his chewing of, let's say, pan and all that, it'll create that little color around the teeth. Right? It means that you have white teeth. Right? The very white teeth. But in the where the teeth meet, at that point, you know, it's just, they'll go in a bit. So at that point, that'll be where some of the red color will come. Does that make sense? That red color will come and then it'll go around the bottom near the gums and then back up at the next gap of the teeth like that. So you have the white and then like that. That's why it said the teeth are like pomegranates. Pomegranate seeds. Right? You know, you see, if you see one, you see where the seed is, it's lighter, and then at the edges, then it's darker. But for others, they have to specifically chew pan to bring this effect. For Krishna, he just has that. Right? Does that make sense? You know, or the nails being of a nice shape and all that. They'll just be like that. You know, while the kids just, you know, they keep really short nails because more nail you have, more dirt. Right? So.
So Maharaj versus sharpening the nails, that means in the sense of a manicure or a shape and so on?
Well, yeah, because people, when they go, then they'll be more careful about the specific shape of their nails. Like, little kids don't care what shape their nails are. But once they attain this age, then they have a shape, how they want their nails, how long, what kind of shape, and things like that. So that makes sense. So you'll have that very nice shape in that. But for Krishna, it just happens anyway. It's already the perfect shape. Right? Does that make sense? It's not that he's got a file out there and he's, you know, like that. Yeah. The eyebrows are like two quivering bows, right? So the eyebrows, then they're dancing their movements and all that. Because with the little kids, there's a little bit of it, but it just creates, it's not dancing, they just will make faces with them and stuff, right? But then when you get into this youth, then it will create that how they'll move and all that. It'll reflect the emotions and all that much more, right? The other will be much more simple. 2.1.3.18, an example. The two eyebrows of the enemy of Agha are dancing like new bows of Cupid. The tips of his rows of fingernails are so sharp that they shine like a row of arrows. The glistening rows of his attractive teeth embody the redness of dawn. What young woman would not be afraid of seeing him? Could be also is that in here there may be some deeper words than sharp. Yeah, I would say it's because that's the difficulty. If you don't know the context, then you just, you know, will naturally translate it the most common usage. But you see, the acharyas many times are using a more obscure usage.
In that verse where it talks about reflection, it sounds like...
Yeah, it's more of a polish or the shine or like that, that, you know, people will go, you know, they'll go to some trouble to. You know, like getting one of those, what is it? You know, the body shop nail boxes. You know, like that kind of thing. You know, you make that effort to try to make.
Lustrous.
Yeah, lustrous. That would be, yeah. 2.1.3.8. Oh, and we did that one. Srila Prabhupada, sometimes the gopis would think about his soft nails, his moving eyebrows and his teeth, which were katachu colored from chewing pan. One description was given by a gopi to a friend. My dear friend, just see how the enemy of Agha has assumed such wonderful features. His brows are just like the brows of Cupid, and they are moving just as though they were dancing. The tips of his nails are so soft, it is as if they were dried bamboo leaves. His teeth are reddish, so it's kind of like, what do you call it? That Ramanujacharya and his guru, Kapidvaja. You know, so then one is saying, you know, that beautiful redness of his lips, and the guru is saying, you know, the red, like a bimba fruit and something like that. If you look at the obscure meaning, he was just taking a direct meaning, red like the backside of a monkey.
Mm.
Yes. Yes.
So his kapyasam means he's taking kapi. Kapi means the monkey backside, the redness.
Yeah.
He's comparing that. But with that he was crying. Means while Ramanujacharya is serving the Guru,
yeah,
by pressing his feet. So
right.
While he's, means by hearing that he was crying, the tears were falling on his legs.
Okay.
Then he turned back. So then he's trying to chastise him. So do you find any other best meaning?
Uh-huh.
This is the best meaning provided by Shankaracharya. Then, yes, there is. So in front of all his disciples, he defeated him.
Mm.
So that
yeah, so we're just saying this is like that. You know that Prabhupada is using the softness, the this and that, but we're translating, then we're ending up with just sharp, you know. So. Like cats, then sharp is good. His teeth are reddish, and so it appears that he has assumed a feature of anger. Under the circumstances, where is the chance for a young girl not to be attracted by such beautiful features and not to be afraid of becoming a victim to such beauty? 2.1.3.19. The attractiveness of the first part of youth. O Madhava, gazing upon the new sweetness of your smile, the bewildered, immobilized gopis are not able to reveal spontaneously the sentiments in their minds, and they are not able to confide in any person. What more can be said? They are so pained that today they have offered 3 handfuls of water to the life heirs. Srila Prabhupada. Krishna's attractive features are so described by Vrinda, the gopi after whom Vrindavan was named. She told Krishna, "My dear Madhava, your newly invented smile has so captivated the hearts of the gopis that they are simply unable to express themselves," right? So they can't say anything like that. "As such, they have become bewildered and will not talk with others. All these gopis have become so affected that it is as if they had offered 3 sprinkles of water upon their lives," right? Because when you go into the Ganga, you offer the tarpana. Right? The tarpana is for those who are deceased. You go into, you take bath, and at the end of the bath, you offer the water. So they're saying they've offered tarpana to their life heirs. In other words, their life heirs just aren't even moving. They're just like statues, like that. Huh? Yes. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's so poetic. In other words, they had given up all hope for their living condition. According to the Indian system, when a person is dead, there is a sprinkling of water on the body. Thus, the statement of Vrinda shows that the gopis were so enchanted by the beauty of Krishna that because they could not express their minds, they had decided to commit suicide. Jiva Goswami. These are words of Vrinda Devi. In the first half of the verse, discerning Krishna's doubt, she increases his longing by stating the effect without cause. When he asks, "Why are they in such a state?" she describes in the third line the cause and next makes him more sympathetic. When he asks in a choked voice, "Then what should they do?" she disturbs his mind in the fourth line with her answer. This is how the verse should be understood. Abhi yoga means displaying their emotions. Right? So he's going through and asking what happened to the gopis, and so then she's explaining. So then by that, they decide to give up their life because they just can't function, they can't like that, so then he'll be more sympathetic. Right? So the karunya rasa means that kindness. So then he'll enter deeper into that rasa. Right?
This is the sort of thing that Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur usually does, breaks up the verse and then says what Krishna's thinking.
Yeah, totally.
Can you say that, you know, with this particular conversation, and even Vrinda Devi is trying to bring out those emotions of him for them?
Donate the
emotions of Krishna?
Denote the emotion. No, but she's talking about the emotions of the gopis.
Of the gopis, but by speaking the emotions of the gopis, she's trying to invoke the emotions of Krishna towards the gopis also.
Why do you want to take it to that? Why do you want to bring it to that mechanical point?
So
it means, why would you want to drop it from taste down into mechanics?
No, it is bringing out again the taste itself, increasing the taste.
For an engineer. You understand is that you take the flavor, because as soon as you start to talk in that way, then it goes away. No? Okay. 3.1, 3.20. During the middle period of the Kaishore period, so this is the beginning of the Kaishore, right? During the middle period of the Kaishore period, Krishna displays indescribable beauty in his 2 thighs, his 2 arms, and his chest, and sweetness in his whole form. Right? So before, you just had that beginning stage come up. Right? Just the eyebrows starting, the redness of the teeth, the nails, a little bit of hair on the body, like that. So that is the one that's coming up. Now in the middle, then we start seeing then the development of, you know, how his arms, his thighs, his chest, you know, and the overall sweetness of all that combined together becomes more. Because we see, before, it was just the aspect of the sweetness means there's physical features, but it brings out just that simple, youthful kind of mood. Does that make sense? And while now you see is also then that the physical aspect of the youthfulness comes up. It adds another feature to it. Yes? No?
more masculinity? Is
that? Yes, because then what will be there in the gopis? It'll be the matching. You know, so it means that aspect comes in more. Because it's just like, let's say, yeah, no, we won't. Okay. 2132. No, 2-1-3-21. An example of the middle of Kishore age. In the course of Keshava's fresh youth, his thighs decided to punish the elephants of trunk of elephant, the trunks of elephants. The elephants of trunks, yes. The trunks of elephants. His chest desired to make friendship with door panels made of emerald, and his arms scolded door bolts. Footnote 11. Several times Krishna's chest is compared to emerald, which is green, although his color is dark blue or blackish. Sometimes, however, makara can be used to signify sapphire as well. So it'll always mean that, because it's always mentioned as emeralds, but it's actually, because emeralds also have that other color. It means in the Vedic thing. The other explanation is that the blue of his complexion combines with the green complexion of the gopis to make it green. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because they're golden. Gold and blue makes green. Yeah. But otherwise, yeah. Okay. 3-1-3-22. The sweetness of the middle youth consists of his face, brilliance with a soft smile, his eyes restless with flirtation, and his singing, which enchants the three worlds. Srila Prabhupada. When Krishna arrives at the age of 13 to 14 years, right? Because before, that would be 11 to 12. Right? His arms and chest assumed an unspeakable beauty, and his whole form became simply enchanting. When Krishna attained 13 years of age, his two thighs were challenging the trunks of elephants. His rising chest was coming to peace talks with doors of jewels, and his two arms were minimizing the value of bolts found on doors. Because the bolts found on the doors, that's what, holds the door in place. It means that nobody can open the door in that. So that means they have to be very strong. You can have as big a door as you like, but the strength of the door is actually being closed depends on the bolt. Right. So it means if you're going back in time where you're talking about the fortresses and stuff like that, right? It means the others who are coming up wanting to open the door, they have to actually bring a full-on tree trunk with, 20, 30 guys carrying it to try to get the door open. So we're talking about that kind of bolt.
We're not talking about hinges, huh?
We're not talking about those little cheapo aluminum chitkanis we close the door with. If you bump into it, it'll just pop off. Like that. We're not talking about those.
Together with the door.
Huh?
With the door.
With the door. Yes, of course. Yes. And we're not talking the shining either, where they don't even bother with the bolts. Okay. Who can describe the wonderful beauty of these features of Krishna? The special beauty of Krishna's body was his mild smiling, his restless eyes, and his world-enchanting songs. These are special features of these age. So each age will have its special features. So at this age, then these other aspects come up. That's why you see all these times, the acharyas, the prayers, and all that are all mentioning all these things. Just without knowing the science, we don't appreciate the particular aspects of the rasa that's there by age. Okay. 2-1-3-23. Right? So Prabhupada just says jewels. Because then you don't have to get into this whole discussion. Right? 2-1-3-23. An example. At the sprouting of Hari's youth, what sweetness became visible? His two restless eyes made friendship with the crafty conduct of Cupid. His lotus face became most radiant with attractive lips embellished with smiles. His singing made even the chaste women break their marriage vows. Srila Prabhupada. There is a statement in this connection that Krishna, at arriving at this age, manifests such beautiful bodily features that his restless eyes became the playthings of Cupid, and his mild smile resembled a newly grown lotus flower. The enchanting vibration of his songs became a great impediment to the young girls, who were supposed to remain chaste and faithful to their husbands, because they were just so much attracted. His beauty is so great. 2:1-3:24. Vai dagdhi sara vishtara kunja keli mahotsava arambho rasa liladher iha cheshtadi shaushtavam. Another translation. The excellence of his behavior during the middle of youth consists of a profuse concentration of charming but cunning actions, a great festival of pastimes in the groves, and a beginning of the rasa dance. Right? So you see his charming but cunning. Right? Because before that, you see that the beginning was just that charming aspect. But now you get that cunning aspect comes in, because then there's the activity, the interaction and all that kind of thing. Does that make sense? So it becomes more dynamic. Yes? No? Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.